As the cross was processing back up toward me, you know, it's an interesting perspective I have every Sunday, the cross coming back. I looked at that cross and I started to think about all the people I love who are in heaven now, all the people who have made such a difference in my life. This is the day when we remember that we are connected to those folks. We are connected to those we love, to those who've gone before us, and to those who will come after us. We remember and give thanks this day that we are connected to God forever, each one of us. We share in God's life and love. We share in each other's lives. We are connected to the whole earth, to everything, to all living creatures. All of it is God's, the universe. We have our place here among the stars. We remember that we are the saints of God, and we remember those well-known saints of God on this day often. And we remember, as I was just mentioning, those in heaven who are our beloved, our family, our friends. What are the implications of all these connections? What are the implications for being in such a relationship with God? Our God, who calls the poor blessed. Last Sunday, I started talking about the relationship between the kingdom of heaven and the beloved community, the kingdom of God and the beloved community. The kingdom of God being that which breaks in when perhaps we least expect it, has broken in through the prophets and the saints throughout history, broken in through Jesus, the Christ, who overcame death and the grave, showing the power of God to save us and to teach us to be people of resurrection. When we know ourselves to be people of resurrection, we are about resurrection, about healing, forgiveness, new life. And so we seek to be that beloved community of which Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke. So many thoughts are coming up for me around All Saints Sunday. I hope that what we do today will enliven all of us in the coming days with hope, with passion, to be God's people in our time and place. I was thinking of my grandmother Mary, a strong woman. She died back in 2000. She was such an important woman in my life. I realized as I was growing up, she was kind of a mysterious figure. I didn't really know that much about her. I was remembering this morning how when I was really little, although this might have lasted for a while, but when I was really little, I'd go to her house and she would bring out this heart-shaped porcelain container. And what was in the container? Buttons. And we'd sit on her bed and play with the buttons. These are the things the saints give us, right? That we hold on to. Every person we're praying for today and we're remembering today in our own hearts, we have stories like that. You have stories like that with them. On our list today is Rachel Held Evans, a Christian writer who brought her story of growing up as a Southern evangelical Christian. She brought this to the world in such a powerful way because at one point she realized the fundamentalist, sort of literalist interpretation of faith and the Bible was not going to work for her. But she loved God and she struggled and she came to an understanding with God, I bet she would say, and probably has. And she wrote incredible books. I'm currently reading her book entitled Inspired, Slaying Giants, Walking on Water, and Loving the Bible Again. Through her journey, you know, she's one of our saints now. Through her journey, she's helped, and through her book, she'll continue to help many as they seek God. In preparing for today, I finally watched Rachel's funeral service, which is on YouTube. This service was held on June 1st. Her death was so unexpected and tragic. She was in her 30s with young children. And she wasn't sick until she was. But all deaths are hard for us when the people we love and who love us best, who really saw us, aren't right next to us. Nadia Boltz-Weber, another person, another pastor, well, she's a pastor. Rachel is a laywoman who did so much. Nadia, a Lutheran pastor, has helped so many with her books and speaking and preaching about God in ways that maybe shock some at times, get our attention. Nadia was the preacher for Rachel's funeral service. She mentioned in that sermon that sometimes in the face of death or tragedy, Christians, well-meaning Christians, send what she called vapid, well-meaning memes. Those are those images with words online. Memes, as if Christian faith is a way to bypass grief in favor of delusional positivity. She encourages us in this sermon to consider grieving as holy and to ask the question, why are we crying? It's a holy question. Our love-soaked grief is holy to God, she said. And she also said this, quote, there are those who would reduce the Christian faith to moralism and a delusional positivity. But we know that the God we worship is not a shiny-toothed motivational speaker churning out cheerful memes in times of suffering. But we worship a God who is crucified and risen, who is not unfamiliar with darkness, who comes close when we mourn, who comes close to those who stand outside tombs. God who is not far off, but as close as that choppy breath that falters when we sob. Tombs are real, but they are not the most real thing, she said. And we would agree, I would agree, light is breaking in into those tombs and the darkness does not overcome it. I don't know about you, but I don't have, this is me talking now, I don't have a lot of time for those who present Christianity in simplistic ways. This is not simple stuff, and it's certainly nothing I can figure out in a sermon. As often as people say, hey, Jesus did it all, it's all done, we should be happy, Jesus rose, it's complete, you shouldn't be sad about anything. True, we're saved through Christ, but really, God was just getting started. As it turns out, blessed are the poor, because God is not a shiny-toothed motivational speaker, churning out cheerfulness in times of suffering, like a meme that might say, poor but blessed. You can just imagine that. Poor but blessed. No, God suffers with the poor, and God acts to bring justice for the poor, and God calls us to create the beloved community where no one is hungry or discarded or looked down on, but rather celebrated. The way we are with others, the way we understand what the communion of saints is all about, has everything to do with who God is for us. Again, not the shiny tooth motivational speaker, but the one who knows the darkness, who comes to the tomb with us, who shines the light. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. The kingdom of God is good news for the poor and the hungry and those who weep, not because being poor, hungry, or grief-stricken is okay if you've got the kingdom. Some people say that. You know, oh, people are supposed to be poor. It's okay. You know, they've got the kingdom. No. The kingdom brings about the transformation by breaking in. And when we see that life, when we see death and resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus, and then we live as those who believe it, that new life comes out of death and God makes it possible, then we are becoming the beloved community. Grace Lee Boggs, writing about the beloved community of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., says this community, it's a vision of people at the grassroots and community level, the community level, participating in creating new values, truths, relationships, and infrastructures as the foundation for a new society. The King Center explains the beloved community as a global vision in which people can share the wealth of the earth. The beloved community, in it, hunger, poverty, and homelessness are not tolerated because international standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood, that communion of saints. And all that happens first at the grassroots level. Isn't that how we've seen change most of the time in our community? Holy Comforter has been and can be a force for such change as we seek to be about these values. These are Christian values, right? How many people out there have used the word Christian values as some kind of weapon against you? It's just so different, right? These are Christian values, that we fight against racism. Everyone is a child of God. I could just go on and on. I don't want to preach for an hour. Okay. So we, this church, you, as I said last week, you are so important. You make the difference. You are the beloved community in development. That's who we are. And we thank all those, our saints, who've gone before us to bring us to this day. You know in your heart who those people are for you, who has been Christ to you, and how much that person or people has made a difference in your lives. The generations of Holy Comforter members and friends, these HOCO saints, have made a difference for us by providing for us this community and a place to worship, our home base, from which we go out and bring about the beloved community, bit by bit, with everything we do, with hope in our hearts. What we do here now will provide for those who will worship in this place 20, 30, 50, 100 years from now. And what we do here now is also about what our city will be like in 20, 30, 50, 100 years. As we turn in pledge cards today or later, we can know, you can know, that you are making a difference for us as a community now, for those who will come after us, and you and I, we are honoring those who came before us, all the saints of HOCO. Some of them you know, all the saints of God now in heaven. We give thanks for all the saints. And we hear Paul's prayer from Ephesians for us today. Paul prays, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know God, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which God has called you." Amen. Amen.